Welcome inside the classroom. It's your weekly smart look at sports. And for the first time in months, we're finally getting the respect we deserve in producing this program. My name is Jeff Brault. I'm joined by Dr. Keith Stroller, who runs the Marist College Center for Sports Communication. And there are about 12 other people in this room. I know two of them. I am now, personally, after she has slighted me two of the last 3 weeks, removing Anna from my memory. She is dead to me, officially dead to me. I'm glad she just left the room. This is perfect.
Why? Can I interrupt?
Yeah.
I brought a dozen donuts this morning.
And no one ate one.
No one has eaten a donut.
No.
That's very strange.
Well, now they're all dead to me.
The donuts?
Anna has personally slighted me twice. And now these new people, who I don't know. I don't know these people. I don't know why they're here. But they should be here to eat the donuts.
Well, they're
and they haven't.
Because the problem is no one wants to be the first guy to eat the donut. Or girl, obviously. So someone needs to get in there and just start with the donuts and get it going.
Open that box. Let's see what we got there.
Well, you heard me while I was ordering.
To be fair, I was paying no attention. That's actually one of your better
donut orders. A good donut.
There's no blueberry this time?
No, there are two blueberries. What?
It's an awful donut.
That is the most ridiculous. Just because the blueberry donuts are in with the other donuts?
No, like, it's just a waste of
a metaphor,
two of, it's just a waste of two of your dozen. Nobody wants a blueberry donut.
No.
If you want something with blueberry, you need to get a muffin.
I love all donuts. It's a rainbow. I'm an inclusive kind of donut guy. So we have the whole range of colors.
That vanilla frosted's looking pretty good there. And I like that you went with the sprinkles.
Oh, you always go with...
Well, I don't understand why they offer them without sprinkles.
No, well, here's the thing. Because, look, it's more. Like, if you get the donut with just the frosting, you're basically saying, I'll pay the same for less, right? In most cases, sprinkles are it's an upsell. Like when you go get ice cream at a soft serve place, they're like, "Do you want sprinkles?" And you expect that to be another 25-50 cents. This is a free benefit. This is like having the Sunday bar set up, and you just take whatever you want. That's what it is.
For our new friends listening to the program, the reason there's so many people here not eating our donuts is because the classroom is, as Dr. Keith Stroller likes to call it, a learning laboratory.
I did can that phrase, by the way.
This is shockingly not just a vanity project for us, but we actually use this program, which originates live at the Marist College Center for Sports Communication, as an opportunity to teach the youth of America how to produce, let's come out and say it, one of the top 10 radio programs in the nation.
Right. And now, by the way, now that you made that kind of nice gesture, this is the part where you are going to turn.
Here we go.
Here comes the backhand of the back of the hand.
First you dangle the carrot, and then comes
the
stick.
And for, and since, as well, we'll do some inside baseball here, need all the interns to know, Jeff Brault does not, the words expressed by Jeff Brault do not represent those of the Marist College Center for Sports Communication. Jeff is surlier than I'm the nice guy.
That's not true. Again, they've known me for about 20 minutes right now. I assume they've known you for longer. And I imagine none of them reading the donuts because they hate you.
It's not true.
Which is understandable to me.
It's out of respect.
They won't eat until you do. If you were standing up, they'd all be standing.
I'm like a dictator. By the way, I don't spoil it for me. I'm watching I can't say this like on the air because I don't know where people are in House of the Cards. House
of Cards. Is Houses of Cards a good show?
House of Cards. By the way, I watched a little bit more Slow and Tell last night, the Donald Trump slowdown on Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, yeah.
You're a tough cookie.
We don't have time for naps. No one knows what we're talking about.
No.
Here's the point to bring it back to.
All right, bring it
Why
on.
Why are all these people here? There are way more people here than ever before.
That's not what you want to know. Well, because they need to know what the show is before they can adequately help produce the show, which raises the question, why wasn't everything done maybe correctly this week? And there's a lot that was done right. Let's focus on the positive. I'm looking at a Google Drive now with a lot of information.
You know when you weren't looking at that Google Drive 15 minutes ago? So, the Google Drive, by the way, to fully break down the fourth wall, let everybody know how we produce this program, is how we share information that
sure
we're going to talk about.
And Google is a technology company.
You may have heard of Google.
Right. And it does more than just let you search for ways to buy, electronics. You can actually share information on some of their proprietary software.
So we've got Mike Wallace. We know what Mike Wallace is doing. He's producing this program. The reason that we sound so crystal clear this morning is because of
Mike
Wallace.
But here's the problem. Mike Wallace may be writing some checks he can't cash, right? Because Mike Wallace, let's be all fair, Mike Wallace over the summer I think he came to me, certainly, and said, I'm ready to take on, I'm ready to be the big shot.
He did. He asked to be the lead dog in this pack.
That's right. Now, I admire that. I always admire the guy that wants to be the biggest, toughest guy in the block. You like that.
You hope there's some follow-through.
So his job, look, we've created some verticals. I'm only one man. I may run an oversized Center for Sports Communication that has tentacles all over this great nation, but as the leader of this showcase piece, I can't do everything. So I've created verticals. I've created verticals, and Mike is running the media vertical. The leadership now, that means he's going to have to get tough. That's the problem with leadership, is you have to get tough.
Well, it's lonely at the top. I think Mike Wallace is concerned about making friends and not about producing a quality radio broadcast.
Right. So he's going to be trying to be nice, like, hey, guys. Like, what you were supposed to do, and you did not do at the first meeting that we had this week, you were supposed to walk in, like we discussed, and say, in a very dogmatic voice and you know, without any fanfare, look at me. Look at me. I am the captain now. Look at me.
Which I refuse to do.
He did. I set him up. He walked in perfectly, 10 minutes late. Everyone's sitting there. He needed to walk in, push me to the side, say, look at me. I am the captain now. Right?
10 minutes late, or as it's known at the Marist College Center for Education, on time. We have a history of not doing things at the time they're supposed to be done. That's Mike Wallace. You know him if you've been hanging out with us over the summer. And then there's Anna.
Well, why? Where's Anna? Is she here?
Anna, she's sitting on the floor.
Sure.
Her first appearance in the classroom, she came with a nice gift for you.
Yeah.
She was working in Major League Baseball over the summer. And we have some friends at Major League Baseball. You know, you, I
apparently
both
have
of us, my both of us are, together.
No, it seems like my friends are a little closer.
One of them.
No, decided, well, they're same friends, but
decided,
I think
Anna still hasn't learned the lesson. You can't talk to us if you're not on a microphone. You can't just shout into the ether.
Think of this thing as your vocal cord. Without it, there's nothing there.
Stop
you're
shouting!
You're still doing it! You're still doing it! So
Anna brought a gift for you. Brought nothing for me. Nothing for me.
Right.
And as you'd expect, because I'm a petulant child,
I
made it known that I was displeased about that. That I feel like something, if you're going to bring something for one person, you should bring something for everyone.
Now, what I don't understand is why you believe that being surly is going to make it better. Like, why? If you have a problem.
Oh, it's corrective. It's corrective. It's corrective. That's all it is.
You think by.
Listen, you have, when people fall short, you acknowledge a shortcoming, and you hope they don't repeat the mistake in the future. And that brings us to today. When Anna rolls in. 9:58.
Yeah, it's fine.
Tray of Starbucks, some iced coffees there. What was that? A stone cut oatmeal you had there? Stone cut oats. Put a little apple cinnamon in there.
You're encouraging this behavior by talking to her when she's not in the microphone.
I needed to know it was in the breakfast cup.
It's probably.
And I go, oh,
Anna, but
I would have liked a nice tasty beverage.
Sure. And
she goes, oh, I only asked Keith.
Right. That's right. Anna probably also swam for 2.5 hours this morning.
It's not my concern.
Well, I'm just saying she may have earned that oatmeal. You, on the other hand.
I'm not upset that she never should have all the oatmeal. Yes, Anna.
You just talked about how you're a child.
A petulant child.
A petulant child. So you said that you call people out when they have a wrongdoing. Like, I'm not going to.
Oh, this should be good.
I am not going to satisfy your expectations.
Do not indulge that.
That is exactly the problem. That is exactly the problem.
See, Anna would be great in a relationship because you would be the guy in the relationship. And let's go into if you two were in a relationship. I know this is getting creepy now, but if you two were in a relationship, you would be the one that complains like, "You don't ever do this for me," and she would say, "I'm not going to indulge your ridiculous fantasies." All right, she would not put up with your nonsense. And you would sit there and pout on the couch all night.
This does cut to the real issue. The real issue is not that I wanted a drink from Starbucks, because I didn't. Because to be fair, I have my own beverage.
You wanted to be asked.
I wanted to be asked. And I'm not mad at you because you didn't ask. I'm mad at you because you don't indulge these whims. That's the problem.
You don't. I read you like a book the first time I met you.
This is why you are not. Nor will you ever be in a long-term relationship.
No, no, no.
Oh, that
this
is.
Isn't why. No,
because no one, no one would put up with that kind of the clinical word's probably insanity, but But no one would indulge that. They would finally say, I'm going to form a relationship with an adult. Because you would just whine your way through that. You would, the minute that, oh, I mean, can you imagine if you were dating someone, by the way, your weekly smart look at sports, if you...
We will tell you in a second what's coming up on this program. This is the death of football, by the way. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yes, it's really, it's insignificant. It's dead already. It's dying as we go. Gone.
Grab your shovels.
So, you, I mean, could you imagine if you were dating someone and they came home and they're like, oh, something great happened. You know, my group at work just got invitations and we're all flying out to Los Angeles for a premiere of some movie, blah, 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 right?
Me, I like this.
Right?
I like this.
And you would go...
Can the premiere be, like, could it be... Can it be in, like,
I'll tell you who's going to be in it. Scarlett Johansson.
I do like... Okay.
All right, so it's a new Scarlett Johansson film, all right?
Can it be at Sundance, though, instead of L.A.? I'm not a big
sure,
L.A. guy.
So, Sundance.
All right, Sunday. I like
Sunday. All right, she's going to be out there, and they're actually going to... Because they're a corporate sponsor, they're going to have some insider access, backstage access,
yes.
A little Q&A.
Sounds like my kind of event.
Right. Well, oh, no, but spouses aren't invited.
What?
Partners aren't invited. You're not. You're just dating. Partners aren't invited. All right. Sorry. And she's you would never get over it if she said, "Look, the boss has said it's just we just can't do it. We can only bring our corporate partners." And you would the whole time she were there, you would fume and call and text and be angry. Right? You would sit on that couch.
I go a different. So I wouldn't call a text. I would say nothing. I would stew in anger. That would be. It would be like a pot just getting ready to boil. And then eventually, because revenge is a dish best served cold. I imagine 10 or so years down the line, with a mortgage and a couple of kids, one day I'm going to ask her to grab me like some Ritz crackers from the grocery store. She'll forget. That's why we'll get divorced, and I'll go, but really it's because... Because
you didn't invite me to the premiere of the Scarlett Johansson film.
Exactly.
So that's the level of maturity that you will bring to a... would bring to any kind of long-term relationship, where you would take that incident, which was not her fault, right, and hold on to it for the better part of a decade.
As long as it needs to be held on to.
Until
elephants never forget.
Until that moment when you can have your moment of sweet revenge, and you'd feel good about that.
Oh yeah, that's what I live for.
But Anna is the problem.
Yes. Now you're getting it. Here's what's coming up on the program this morning. If you watch the NFL opener on Thursday, Carolina and Denver, Cam Newton. Got mauled. People wonder why he wasn't put in the concussion protocol. They said he took about 18 hits, two directly to the helmet, at least two directly to the helmet. And, you know, the NFL makes a lot of hay about they take head injuries very seriously. They take their new concussion protocol very seriously. It's independent. A lot of people feel that in week one, that failed. That's at the highest level of the sport. As you trickle down, last few days, a class action lawsuit has been filed against Pop Warner Football, the largest youth football organization in the country, and USA Football, the national governing body of the sport, is named as a party in this lawsuit as well.
Has a strong working relationship with the NFL.
Absolutely. Alleging that they have recommended products that they claimed helped prevent head injuries that didn't, that they implemented coaching policies and strategies that they claimed would help reduce head injuries and concussions, and then they lied about data that reinforced that point, and they didn't. And now youth football is being sued because there are parents that feel they are negligent in protecting their children, who in some cases have died from CTE. Well, they didn't die from CTE. When they died, it was found that they had CTE.
It's a problem.
It's possible that if these lawsuits go the way that the plaintiffs want them to, they could significantly cripple or even end Pop Warner Football.
Sure, which a large program, but we have to believe does not have the kind of deep pockets that could sustain this. You wonder to some extent if the NFL would step in to assist, because if Pop Warner and youth football gets cut at the knees in this country, that is a significant blow for the professional ranks. I think everyone's aware of that.
If you love football and you want football to continue, you should be very concerned about how to limit head injuries in football, because if they don't get limited at the NFL level, at the youth level, wherever, that's probably, through litigation and through the death of youth football, what's going to kill football 20, 30 years down the line.
And I'd also make the argument that the results, Anna is now climbing through the table to, it's not distracting at all, Anna. It's not distracting at all to see someone's head pop up from the underneath the table. It's easy for me because I do really well at trying to do two things at once. That's really my strong suit. So it's, I mean, you would also think that people who run high school sports, junior high school sports, any kind of interscholastic sports are going to pay close attention to the results of this, because you have to believe that if this suit goes against the Little League organizations or the youth sports organizations, one of the next potential defendants on a case like this would be high school sports, state federations, the UILs of the world. That could be a huge problem. And you wonder, why would any state, scholastic organization put themselves at risk for that? Because certainly no one would want to see a school district bankrupted because of their sports program. So it's a very, very serious issue. And I don't know, and I wish I knew more. Maybe someone, one of the interns could look this up. I don't know if this is a case that will go to a jury or to a judge. Boy, I would be leery of having this in front of a jury. Can you imagine just the emotional testimony that will come out of this? I imagine, as many cases are, it's won and lost in the jury selection. But I just imagine having a parent on that jury team listening to testimony about how their kid died playing football.
Also on the program this morning, an event, a local event that's near and dear to the heart of Keystra. The SOS Triathlon is coming up.
Which I'm doing tomorrow.
So we'll talk about the SOS. Now, it's what? It's how much swimming?
All right, so it's 30 miles. 30 miles of swimming. Oh, excuse me, 30 miles of swimming.
I was going to say, that seems like a lot. That seems like a lot.
But always up for a challenge. If we'll start here. We get out of Tarrytown.
It's great.
Downstream, though. We 30 miles of biking, head up to the Gunks. A place which, by the way, you admit, one of the most beautiful places in the country. The Gunks.
Love the Shore.
And we're
going
to talk about the moat when we have Alex Sherwood on a little bit later in the program, in the second hour. We will be talking about getting some special access, hopefully, by the end of the show. See, Anna, you'll see how Jeff works. He now knows that he's going to be talking to someone that maybe could get him a little something something.
I am a man motivated by high status and access.
So the idea of being able to walk into the Mohawk Mountain House and have someone say, "Hello, Mr. Brault," is something that's very appealing.
Or even just, "Hello, sir."
Have you ever stayed at the Mohawk Mountain House?
I have not stayed. I have been.
Do yourself a flavor. And get yourself. You're going to need a special someone for this. All right? Get yourself a couple nights. You want a couple of nights because you don't want to feel like you're checking in and checking out. Mm. Right? Get yourself a couple of nights. When it's nice, you either go for the fall, for the foliage. Summer's always nice too, but you don't need that. You're not getting in a lake and you're not hiking. You really are.
We've been over this. Hiking is a punishment. I would get in a lake.
Okay.
I'm good with lakes.
You do a little a little canoeing maybe?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So get yourself when you can do that. Yeah, or the fall is beautiful up there. And just do a couple of nights. Oh my, it is so luxurious. It is so luxurious. It's like being in another world.
Make your reservations online at MohawkMountainHouse.com.
So 30 miles. Let me get 30 miles of biking. You get off. You give your bike to your crew, which my wife, unfortunately, is going to have to be. She's not, it's an early morning for her and the kids. Give the bike off. Then you start running through the Gunks. You go 4.2 miles out to the first lake, Lake Awasting. Swim 1.1 miles down the lake with your shoes. Get out. Run like almost 6 miles to the next lake, Lake Minnewaska. Swim another half mile. Cross that with your shoes. Run 8 miles up to Lake Mohonk, looking at the beautiful mountain house. Swim a half mile across that and run a little over a half mile up to Skytop. So it's about 18 miles of running, about 2 miles of swimming, 30 miles of biking, and all the glory you can handle.
And we're talking about that, along with Ryan Lochte's suspension from USA Swimming. He will miss the 2017 World Championships. He caught 7 months for basically getting drunk and lying.
That was 10 months.
That's good, too. I think 7 months is when the championships are.
Okay.
And 10 months, fine. The extra 3 months after the championships,
he knows handling his PR. I'm not breaking anything. It's very public. Our good friend, Matthew Hiltzik.
There you go. That's a fact that's interesting to you and you alone.
No. It was an interesting fact to everyone who wrote about it. I wanted my name in that article. Matthew Hiltzik, who recently spoke with the Marist College Center for Sports Communication.
Yeah, but I'm the one with the ego.
So Ryan Lochte's out for 10 months.
It's a long time. Michael Phelps got significantly less for DUI.
Yeah. For a second? That was a second? Or did he pull himself out in a second?
Huh?
He's had two DUIs.
The one he got suspended for. I don't know if he can. Maybe he got suspended for both. If he did, either way, both would have been less than Ryan Lochte.
Yeah.
All information we would have known had this show been produced. Should we take a break? Should we take a break?
Your weekly smartish look at sports. Your weekly average intelligence look at sports.
This is the classroom, and class is, despite our best efforts, in session. We're back after this on Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. Back in the classroom, your weekly smart look at sports. You can like us on Facebook, search for ESPN The Classroom. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN_classroom, please. Our weekly appeal goes out right now. If you miss an episode, if you miss hearing this episode, catch it in the podcast section of iTunes, search for ESPN in the Classroom, and download it. Get our numbers up.
And here's what's going to happen, by the way. Right after the show, I'm just doing some house cleaning business right here. Right after the show, everyone here is going to gather around, and they're going to cut up the show and make the podcast out of it. And then they're going to start cutting up. We're also going to be bringing back the we take the best funny parts of it, and they're going to be putting them on SoundCloud and tweeting them out during the week.
The good news for the interns, that task shouldn't take long. Shouldn't take long to find the funny
just
parts.
Before we get into the big story and youth football, I'm interested in the donuts, how the donuts are going. Because no one has got – well, I know they're going well. No one has gone for the cream-filled one yet.
Let me tell you about the upset of the day. And the interns did start to get after the donuts in the last commercial break. Both blueberry donuts among the first taken.
Yep. Thank you. No, blueberry – look, the blueberry is for a more refined palate. The blueberry is a sophisticated taste. Of the donut world, it's a far more sophisticated taste.
Close that lid. Anna doesn't get a donut.
Anna swam. Anna swam for 3 hours.
Anna goes with the chocolate cake donut.
Chocolate cake donut. That is a good donut.
I think you can learn a lot about a person by the type of donut they choose from a
you
box
know,
of donuts.
I would be going for the cream filled. I'd be going for the chocolate cream filled. What does that say about me?
Excessive.
Yep. Oh, a little over the top. Yep, a little over the top.
I'm slightly upset. Not that upset, because I wasn't planning on having a donut. That somebody took the vanilla frosted with sprinkles. That would have been my choice. The classics are a classic for a reason.
See, to me, I actually it bothers me even buying that donut because, first of all, I don't like cake donuts that much. I don't like, and I certainly don't like the chocolate frosted vanilla. But if you're going to have a frosted donut, it should be chocolate frosted. Chocolate is a superior flavor to vanilla because chocolate is an add-on. So chocolate is more than vanilla.
I disagree with that. I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
Chocolate is more.
In your hierarchy of flavors, it's vanilla, chocolate, strawberry.
You realize
every ice cream shop ever, vanilla, chocolate, strawberry.
So you realize my life is lived by kind of a simple creed. What is better? More. More is always better. How I dress, like whatever it is. If it's what would you – if stripes and plaids, yes. Like whatever it is, I want more. I want more going on. So if I'm putting together a panel, I want more. I'll put 28. I would be the guy producing like the NFL pregame shows where they had like four rows of guys.
go to the Octobox.
I always believe. I think more is always better. More is always better.
Let's get to this morning's big story.
The big story.
Last week, Kimberly Archie and Joe Cornell filed a lawsuit in federal court in California. A lawsuit against youth football. That was a very abrupt ending to our music.
Well,
there.
We can't hear it.
I was hoping for a nice music bed.
No, I faded it out.
All right.
I don't think we hear it.
I was jarred by the
fade out. You don't hear the fade out. We don't hear
the
fade out.
The abrupt ending of
it. We don't hear
the fade out.
Hopefully
it sounded good to the people.
You're doing a little bit too much teaching.
Also, to be fair, we do hear the fade out.
No. No, you don't hear the fade out.
We would absolutely hear the fade out.
No. They don't. No, they
I can prove it to you because I can fade down our
microphone. No, there's a button. No, he takes the button off. He takes our hearing button off.
No, the button's still on.
No, but not
the buttons are both on right now.
All right, we're gonna have to debate this at a later time. Now all of a sudden you want to start teaching everyone. You come in here and make it your point that it's not your job to teach everyone, and then as soon as there's an opportunity, you're like, excuse me, can we go over that fade? Like the most
Like, the devil's in the details, Keith Strudler. You can't do a quality radio program without the proper music fade.
We can't do a quality radio program, period. Okay? So let's do the one that we're going to do. I like that chicken on the ball there, right there. That's nice.
Chicken on the ball.
That's a chicken on the ball.
It's the Tottenham Hotspur logo.
I love that.
I don't know what to say to that.
Okay. should we try to bring this back?
Together.
Yeah. Archie and Cornell, two women, filed a federal lawsuit in California, essentially alleging that their children's participation in youth football, both of their children died. One at age 24 from a motorcycle crash after he had been exhibiting reckless behavior, and another at 25 from suicide. They attribute their deaths to their participation in youth football. After both of Archie and Cornell's children died, it was found that they had CTE, which is, if you watch the Will Smith movie Concussion, that is, you know, the brain disease that a lot of ex-football players, a lot of ex-boxers, a lot of people who have been repeatedly hit in the head are found to have. And they believe, Archie and Cornell, that it was youth football, Pop Warner football, and USA football, who are named as defendants in this lawsuit, that are complicit in giving their children CTE, which led to their erratic behavior and their eventual death. We have learned in recent weeks that football, youth football, their heads-up tackling initiative has been grossly overestimated, the effect that it had on limiting concussions. They claimed it was about 30%. Turns out, 0%.
Not much.
And they also claim that equipment that youth football said would help prevent head injuries and said that was scientifically better than older equipment. Wasn't. It was exactly the same as other equipment. There was no health benefit to it at all. The plaintiffs, again, Archie and Cornell, are accusing Pop Warner of, quote, failing to monitor games, practices, rules, equipment, and medical care to minimize the long-term risks associated with brain injuries, including repetitive subconcussive hits, and for failing to accurately diagnose brain injuries, as well as failing to approve the best equipment available. Pop Warner is not the NFL. They do not have NFL money. They do not have a billion-dollar television rights deal.
They're also servicing thousands and thousands of kids, as opposed to how many people, you know, that are on NFL programs, or even at the NCAA level, where it's still a relatively small group of people with very deep pockets, particularly at the high Division I level. So they can afford – look, even here at Marist, which is a very small Division I program and 1AA non-scholarship program – I know that there is funding to make sure that our athletes have the best and newest gear, and there happens to be some very generous funding behind that. So that can happen at certain levels of football. It is much less likely to happen at lower levels of football when I'm sure, and again, not being a doctor, not a real doctor at least, that the brain is in a much more fragile state. So the stakes seem like they could be much higher, even though the hits aren't as hard.
This is the opening week of the NFL. This is the second week of the college football season. If you are a football fan, you hear these stories and you think, I just want to watch football.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to watch football. I like the hitting. I just want to watch football. Cam Newton gets paid an awful lot of money. He can take a couple hits to the head. It's fine. I want my entertainment. You should care about stories like this if you care about football and you want football to exist. Because if these lawsuits continue to happen, youth football is in serious danger of going away or being severely limited. If youth football is severely limited, suddenly the next Cam Newton isn't going to be a quarterback. He's going to be a point guard, or he's going to play soccer, and that'll make Mike Wallace happy if he's a scoring midfielder. But if youth participation starts to go away
Cam
in football—
Cam Newton would be a good soccer player? Cam Newton would be good at anything, right?
Probably. He's a freakish athlete.
Yeah.
I would think he'd probably be pretty good.
I'd like to see him trim down as a basketball player.
Be interesting. That's not the point. The point is— If these elite athletes...
It was the point, because...
If youth football has to go away or be severely limited because, say, they're found grossly negligent in one of these lawsuits and have to pay out a $1 billion settlement, they can't really afford that.
No.
They would most likely go away at that point.
Well, you'd have to imagine that certainly the national governing bodies around this would go away. Now, whether there could be local organizations that create football programs that are independent, but anything that would provide the kind of governance that a Pop Warner would... They certainly couldn't sustain, nor would they want to try to sustain a penalty like that. I wonder if that's something that's going to be taken into consideration when they're rendering a decision on this case. I mean, there are monetary decisions that organizations cannot deal with. I also don't know what the insurance situation is behind this. So I don't know exactly who would end up paying for these cases. But even regardless of how this case is decided, let's say Pop Warner survives it. The negative press that comes out of this, the idea that you have parents speaking out saying my kid, who was a young adult, killed himself because of injuries that were sustained when he played youth football, that is beyond, detrimental in many cases for organizations that are trying to promote this league at a time when all youth sports are having challenges, keeping their enrollment. And I'd also say this, this is, as we talked about a little bit starting this program, the opening week for a lot of youth sports in this country. T-ball kicks off this week, soccer, my kids are playing soccer right now. There are so many strategic advantages, I think, that sports like soccer have over sports like football for the youth of America. All right. None the least of which are I went out and bought new cleats for one of my kids. Those cleats, and I mean, I'm not belittling any expense because I know an expense could be challenging for parents, but they're $20. $20 I bought my kids a new pair of cleats. When you get used to buying like item after item for your kids for everything they do, you literally feel like this is the best investment I've ever made. $20 for a pair of cleats, $10 for a ball, they go out and they play, right? It's almost a non-issue. And the fees to join the league are very affordable. I mean, it's very accessible for most parents. And I largely think, particularly since they've added rules in most leagues for no headers at a youth age, which is the most, the most dangerous thing, I think, for kids.
And this is an important point. Statistically, you have a higher risk of receiving a concussion playing soccer because of headers than you do playing football.
And they've said no intentional headers for almost, for many youth soccer organizations around this country. And they make that very clear, by the way. There's no ambiguity. They'll call a penalty if anyone does it. So, and it's relatively easy to clean up soccer because of that reason. You can make one specific rule and say you can't do it. Now, that doesn't change what happens at the high school level, the college level. So compare that now to what football looks like. Football, which, by the way, is a much more difficult situation for parents. The practices are longer. The strategy's tough. It's hard to watch. All right. A lot of kids might not like getting hit like that. The costs now are going to go through the roof. Like, if they have to add a layer of administrative costs to deal with lawsuit protection and so forth, that's going to be tough. If they have to now buy more expensive, because this equipment's not going to be cheap. If there is better equipment to be had, it's going to be expensive. Imagine a parent now deciding, like, I could put my kid in soccer. It's safe. It costs $50 to sign up, $30 for equipment. Or I can go play football, where I'm watching lawsuits about parents whose kids have committed suicide. And it's going to cost me $300 to play in the league. The practices are long. And they're probably not going to run around very much. They're not going to get a lot of exercise. And the equipment's going to cost me $500. Who's going to go the other way? Like, who's going to go the other way?
I completely agree with everything you said. Completely agree. And the lawsuit is, regardless of how it turns out, a bad PR look. But I think football, NFL, USA football, every level of football, needs to be more concerned about how to prevent head injuries. Need to do more than give the lip service they are currently given. Anybody who watched that Thursday night game with Cam Newton just getting lit up time and time and time again, you see these systems they claim to have in place just not even come to pass.
It's really interesting because if you listen to Mike and Mike the next morning, there was a pretty heated debate about whether he should have gotten pulled out or whether he should have been allowed to play.
And here's the thing. If there's that debate, he should be out.
I firmly agree with you, but there's a lot of the American viewing public that would have been furious if Cam Newton had come out of the game at that particular time. This is a close game.
And this is my point. This is why I think football needs to take those instances more seriously and get Cam Newton out of that game, because eventually, who knows what will happen with Archie and Cornell suit, but eventually football will lose a lawsuit. And if they lose the wrong lawsuit and it goes away, the effect of that, of youth football, of a youth football organization evaporating completely, that effect is multiple times more significant than the effect of individual parents having to make a choice between football and soccer. You're going to see participation levels drop precipitously.
Yeah, the institutional kind of erosion would obviously be more – it's the drip versus the explosion, right? The
quote,
pipes
unquote,
explode or the drip.
The quote-unquote death of football does not come quickly. It will not happen after a Thursday night game in which Cam Newton got hit in the head a couple times. It will not happen after one lawsuit.
Look, people have been killed playing football. That's we've already seen those kind of things.
But it could absolutely happen over time if the foundational entities, your youth football, your Pop Warner, your USA football, your high school football, if those start to go away, you are eventually going to see the erosion of football as a sport.
I've long argued, you know, football, think of football like a pyramid. And the end of the pyramid's not losing the top. You can put that back on. It's losing the bottom layer, and the whole thing falls out underneath. It's cutting it at the knees. I would also say you're seeing other professional sports organizations in baseball, and I'm not just saying this because we have friends who work at baseball, but baseball, which has struggled, certainly at the youth level, has really worked hard. Now, I think it's an uphill swim for them in many cases for a lot of reasons, but they have put more efforts and extensive efforts into revitalizing baseball at the youth level and attacking the things that are problematic for them, cost, access, racial diversity, all those things, the timing of the games. They've understood that they have problems. Now, the NFL's problems are very different than the problems that confront Major League Baseball. They don't have an excitement problem. Their problems are, you know, the concussions and all the other – and the costs. But they need to attack that with the same authenticity that I think baseball is attacking.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think what we're seeing here isn't just that there's some real hurdles, which is it's a violent game. But I think what this lawsuit seems to illuminate is none of us believe that there's any authenticity behind their efforts. Like when the numbers come out and it suggests, hey, they were just kind of inflating the numbers.
Or when you watch the Thursday night game with Cam Newton and you hear all this lip service and then you see the results on the field when it comes to taking the most dynamic player in the game off the field, it doesn't happen.
You look at the other two leagues and look at baseball, as we discussed, and look at the NBA, which doesn't have these problems. But the NBA, which is, you know, dealing with issues around social justice, racial inequity, and so forth, they're putting their money where their mouth is, right? They pull the NBA All-Star game, right? They do things that difficult decisions in some cases, but that make it very clear that they are truly authentic in the things that they stand for. And that's going to be an NFL problem. I've never seen a poll on this, but I would love to see the kind of opinion poll on Roger Goodell that you see on politicians. I would guess they have a very unfavorable view, certainly around his honesty, and that's a problem. If you don't believe in the integrity of your commissioner and your leadership, it's a big problem.
Well, I mean, maybe, but Roger Goodell, the only opinions that matter are that of the 30-whatever owners. Those are the opinions that matter, the people that are involved in the ownership group of NFL football teams.
He represents that ethos.
The opinion of everybody else doesn't really matter. The opinion of those people do.
Sure.
And I think those people and Roger Goodell and the NFL need to recognize the threat to the game that is coming.
It's more existential than
USA Football and Pop Warner keep enduring these hits. Because the NFL, you know, you say the NFL is a problem with head injuries. It's hard to argue the NFL has any problems because 40 million people are going to watch the games, because all the stadiums are going to be filled, billions of dollars in television revenue. You know, they have things they can fix, but to say they have a problem, the bottom line would not support that. Football the last few years with all these controversies, domestic violence, head injuries, whatever it's been, as popular, if not more popular than ever. Football as an institution is beloved in this country. And I think right now there is a problem with people not recognizing that if they don't take this issue more seriously, that could go away. And it won't go away at the NFL level. It'll go away over time.
Look, this, we've done opinion polls on this with the Marist poll and for Real Sports, and it would be interesting if we did this poll a year or two from now, because I think the thing we'd see more may not be that they don't like watching the NFL, but I think you'll see more parents thinking twice about putting their kids into youth football. We saw certainly an erosion, and we saw a third of a parents being concerned, but I think that number would I'd be shocked if that number didn't climb up to closer to half. And it's probably something we'll do in the next couple of years to look at where the public is.
I don't know how much, though, this really strikes me as a public opinion problem. I mean, if it comes down 65-35 on we like hard-hitting football,
no, I'm talking about
the
question. The question that matters the most is, are you concerned? Does the CTE issue give you pause about putting your kids into playing football? That's the question. And we saw about a third of parents say, yeah, that's something I think about when considering putting my kids into youth football. If these kinds of cases creep that number up to 50%, 60%, that's your problem. That's where the rub comes, because now parents are saying, I'm not going to let my kid do it. I know we've got an esoteric sports topic coming up and a guest.
And well, here's the thing. Our esoteric sports expert, Jim Cotter, has been MIA. MIA. I mean, I feel like we haven't talked to him in years.
And now he's back.
I was concerned
about his health. You are not concerned about
his health. I was concerned about Jim.
No, that's it's beyond untrue.
But I have good news for everyone. Jim's alive. He's well. And he will help us debate an esoteric sports topic in a necessary detail on the other side of this timeout. We're back in the classroom after this. Fox 1220, 97.3, ESPN Radio. I'm Jeff. He's Keith. Mike Wallace hanging out on a microphone. And like 12 other people are in here. We're back. It's the classroom live from the Marist College Center for Sports Communication in Poughkeepsie. Produced by Marist College students. That's why there's so many people in here trying to listen to us. Joining us on the phone, our old friend Jim Cotter. Jim, long time no talk.
Long time. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Is everything okay with you? Are you and Keith having a rough patch? Is there anything we need to smooth over?
Oh, yeah, no, like you're going to be the one to...
You know, I don't think we like to air our dirty laundry.
Yeah. No, actually, that is what we do here.
It is. Keith likes to air his dirty laundry, so I'll just give him the opportunity to do that.
I don't know if you were listening to the very beginning of the program, Jim, but we did break down in painful detail why I will never have love.
Wow.
Well, I'll tell you why you won't have love. You won't have love because you
again,
because you won't give unconditional love. That's why. You can't get love until you give love.
You have kids. You have kids. You should know this.
Yes.
Love is earned.
No. Love. We'll do a little survey right here. Raise your hands, all of you in the room.
That's good. Always a raise your hand survey. Always good on the radio.
Well, I just want to know. Raise your hand if you think that
love. Please nod your head.
If it should be unconditional.
Oh, put your hands
They're
down,
all,
you dirty
everyone,
liars.
Everyone,
put your hands down.
Everyone but Michael Wallace.
Yes.
All love is conditional. And here's why,
like Keith is not paying.
Here's why love is conditional. How many people are in a relationship with someone they love and then break up with them or get divorced? There are conditions. There are conditions.
Well, they might still be in love.
They usually, yeah. And that's why it proves to you that love is conditional.
Or they get cheated on.
A condition. Fidelity. A condition of love.
I'm just saying, it should be unconditional. Unconditional.
Here's the esoteric sports topic.
I feel like we're getting real deep right now.
The esoteric sports topic to be debated in a certain way. Hit me with a good fade.
Esoteric sports topics debated in unnecessary detail. Featuring Dr. Keith Strudler and Jim Cotter.
I just got to...
It's not time. You've got to fade it. Okay.
I just... if we're going to break... That's plenty of fade.
Okay, I like that.
If
I like that. That was right in the wheelhouse.
All right, I just got to break down the fourth wall here. We got 9 minutes to break.
That's correct.
I have to pee in a way that is borderline challenging.
Well, luckily, you just finished that medium iced coffee.
Good thing I didn't go for the large because, wow.
This is going to be a fun 9 minutes, a race against the clock. Okay, here's the esoteric sports topic to be debated in a certain detail. We don't know when the apocalypse is coming. We don't. We pretend to be the weekly smart look at sports. A lot of you, I'm sure, tune into this program thinking, boy, that Keith guy sure seems like he knows everything. Mm-hmm. But.
I know people that would suggest otherwise.
One thing we don't know is when the apocalypse is coming. It could happen tomorrow. It could. It's as good a chance as any. If the apocalypse was to come, what athlete would you want with you to help keep you alive for as long as possible? Keith, who should go first?
Jim, you want me to go first?
It's up to you.
I'm going to go first.
Okay, good.
Sure.
All right.
So at first I was like, well, I need a heavy. I need like a Floyd Mayweather kind of situation.
Okay, Floyd Mayweather's actually like 5'8", 160 pounds.
Oh, please. Who's going to take down that bad man? Come on. Floyd Mayweather?
A professional boxer who's 6 foot and 200 pounds?
Like a heavyweight?
No. But Floyd Mayweather's more stealth because we're going to need to be – You know, we need some speed and some you know, to hide. And some
so premises. That's what you meant by heavy is stealth.
So
the bears.
Yeah.
Gotta hide.
Can I? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Bears. Can I get one of the racehorses? Like
sure.
No. So I was.
I do consider the racehorses.
But here's
athletes.
The thing. Here's the thing. Mm. No one survives an apocalypse, and not well.
That is what makes it an apocalypse.
But I'm saying if it's the end of the world, I'm not fighting for like to live another few days. It's over. The thing is, this world is over. Where you know what? The devil has won, or whoever that is, right? Lucifer, whoever it is. I don't know the stories, right? Someone has taken this over, all right? Whether it's man-made, whether it's the Martians, whatever it is, it's over. That this world is done. Time to move to the Earth clone in that other galaxy. So I'm not looking to try to fight off the end of the world. I'm looking to enjoy my final moments on this Earth. So my hope would actually be for some loving companionship.
I'm not looking to fight off the end of the world. I'm looking to love myself to the end of the world.
So are you picking yourself?
So my
athlete, is that what I'm hearing here?
My athlete, I'm going old school here, because she was always, to me, kind of the model for the most gorgeous athlete ever. I'm going old school with Anna Kournikova. She would be my companion through the apocalypse.
Okay.
Done.
That's one way to go.
Oh, please. And right? Am I going to be fighting off lions and mutants and whatever else it is?
But what if she didn't want to be your companion?
No. This was not an option.
Here.
Floyd Mayweather doesn't want to be my companion either. Hey, Floyd, do you mind if I just hang with you for the... I'll be your Robin.
Jim Cotter, what do you got?
So the question was literally, as asked, the question was, which athlete would you pick to help you survive as long as possible?
That's correct.
That's literally the question that was asked.
That's a good
restatement of the question. Keith Strzeler rejected the premise of that question, and that may come back to hurt him when it's time to judge.
I reject it on principle. I don't want to fight off the end of the world. I want to embrace it.
Yes. And by picking someone whose unconditional love you can't guarantee, right? So it seems like an excellent choice. Okay. So to answer the question as asked.
By the way, she can bring Enrique Iglesias with it. It could be the three of us. That's fine, if that makes it easier.
So the athlete that I would pick is, because not only do we not know what time the apocalypse is coming, we also don't know the nature of the apocalypse. We don't know whether it's going to be a strain of Zika. Mm. We don't know whether it's going to be mutants. We don't know whether it's going to be the tipping point of sentient computers. We don't know what is going to happen.
I was going to say,
that one seems scary.
They all seem scary. We've seen Terminator.
I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords.
Yes. So I'm going to want an athlete that is not just physically able to help me survive as long as possible.
We're talking about Bobby Fischer here?
But I also want someone who has the medical training and smarts to help me survive as long as possible. That's why I would select Olympic gold medalist and medical doctor Eric Heiden to be my companion in the post-apocalyptic.
And also short-time professional cyclist, I believe.
Absolutely. A very versatile athlete and a medical doctor held in great regard.
Sure. Only about 25.
So that's who I'd pick to keep me alive for longer.
30 years past his athletic prime.
You picked the model. I picked the doctor.
Well, let's be honest. Eric Heiden's going to be most useful if the apocalypse also includes the Earth freezing over.
Which it might.
He's much more effective on skates than on land.
But he's incredibly effective on land. He's a professional cyclist.
He's not so young, though.
Just a generally capable athlete.
So you've gone for the five-tool player.
And a trained doctor. Did I mention that he's a doctor?
Yeah. You've gone for a five-tool. I've gone for a very effective single tool.
So I picked a doctor. To stay alive as long as possible, which was the question.
When we were talking about this during the last break, one of the interns, I think it was Anna, said J.J. Watt would pick J.J. Watt as the athlete. Grab a microphone. Snuggle up there with Mike Wallace. And why J.J. Watt?
Well, I just think he's the most physically fit athlete. I mean, he's a tank.
He's a big dude.
I mean, if anything, he could plow through a forest, you know, for me,
target, though.
That was Mike Wallace's counter-argument there. He's a big target, and that's not wrong.
No,
that's
true.
Not wrong.
I mean,
wrong. There's a chance that the post-apocalyptic world won't have as many cameras, which seems to be his primary motivation.
True. So also meaning that Tim Tebow would be ineffective as well. Yeah.
Yes. Not my choice.
You could pray.
Although Tim Tebow, I'm hoping, has a special relationship
sure.
I mean, maybe that's another direction to go. Someone who's a little bit more godly.
God would not only be on the Mets side, but on your side as well now.
Important point. God is never on the Mets side.
Yes, let's clarify that. No, yeah, I think J.J. Watt, he's physically fit. He's huge.
Mm-hmm. Just a good, just a generally good
he's
guy.
He's not stupid. He doesn't seem stupid.
No,
anyone else over there in the gallery?
I think everyone agrees with my Anna Kournikova call.
Have a choice for what athlete they'd like to have them survive the apocalypse.
Frank Breyer has a mic.
It seems very, okay. Not necessarily
looks like,
listening
looks
to the
like
program.
We're going with no.
Yeah.
It appears resounding. That no is the answer to that question.
I'm
very, very impressed with the answer of one Jim Cotter.
Please. Good. Enjoy your final moments with Eric Heiden. Enjoy that. Enjoy your final moments with an.
It wasn't a question of enjoying
your
the
final
moment.
Moments.
It was a question
getting
of having
rejected
the most.
Oh, I'm not going to get. No, she is my companion.
You've got to answer the question. That
no,
asked.
She's my companion. I'm her last chance at happiness on this earth. Trust me, I'll do fine.
Sad end for her.
you know.
Jim Greeley, well done this week. Very impressive.
Hey, you guys have a good week. Enjoy the time with the
interns. Yeah, good luck building those computer warlords, overlords.
Hey, Jim, before you go, real quick, if you were, say, an intern for, say, a school-sponsored radio program, and you were going to come into that environment and you were to maybe make a stop at, a coffee shop beforehand.
One that was born from the general Seattle region.
Could you imagine perhaps it being a good idea not to offer just one host, but both hosts the opportunity to put in a coffee
order?
It's
about relationships.
Jim, let me ask you, if Jeff Brault is...
Why we got to use names?
Yeah, now it seems like we're pointing fingers.
I mean, do you think I should indulge his complaints? Like,
yeah.
He
indulge
complained
narcissism.
Because he didn't get anything.
Yeah,
and then I don't get him anything because I don't want to condone that behavior.
A star is born.
It's called enabling.
Indulge my complaints.
Yeah, that's exactly the world.
Yeah, enabling.
My complaints for basic human politeness.
Yeah. Exactly. When Jeff Brault is 800 pounds, Anna's not going to be the one coming home with the supermarket with 8 cakes. That's exactly right. Exactly right.
But Jim, seriously.
Only child. It's
seriously,
not
Jim, they should have asked, right?
Well, so it seems to me that standard sort of meeting protocols, you decide who's going to get the coffee and donuts. So it sounds like maybe this is a failure at the top level of management.
Sure.
Ooh, I like
that,
Jim.
Beforehand. So I think that that's the first thing. And the second thing is it sounds like Jeff believes in conditional love and conditional behavior.
Interesting.
You should be reaching out to her and saying, what would I need to do for you in order for you to bring coffee?
That's right. That, how can I make you feel safer?
Be thirsty. That's what I need to do.
All right. But what can you provide for her that would motivate her
That's
to
right.
get the coffee next time?
That's right. That sounds like a leader.
You know what I can provide?
That's what sounds
like. I can provide some very nice words on the radio.
That's
true.
Right.
I can provide a nice ego booster.
I don't know.
Can you provide a segue
However,
to our commercial right?
break? Yeah. By not bringing it. So I think you're creating a situation where you're rewarding the behavior that you don't want to happen.
That's
interesting thought, Jim. And now I'm turning off the cell phone.
That sounds like someone who's married to a vet. She's treating you like an animal.
We got to take a break. We're back with another hour of the Classroom after this. Fox 12, 20, 97.3 ESPN Radio. We go to the second hour of the Classroom, your weekly smart look at sports live from the Marist College Center for Sports Communication in Poughkeepsie. My name is Jeff Brault. I'm joined by Dr. Keith Schroeder, director of the Marist College Center for Sports Communication, Mike Wallace, Anna, and many, many other people whose names I do not know are in the classroom. I'm told that they either have or will in the future help produce this program, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm reading Google Drive now with some information on it. I think, look, the reality is this week is a get-to-know-you kind of week. Now it's all going to start happening as there's some post-production work. And next week, either next week or the week after, you're not only going to be able to listen to us on ESPN 1220, 97.3 in Poughkeepsie, you're also going to be able to go to either Facebook or Twitter or both and watch the stream. Right? Watch the stream.
I can't wait.
That is going to be something. That's going to be something crazy. And that's something they're going to produce. And you'll be able to interact via hashtags and all that good stuff. So that's going to be fun.
Here in the second hour of the program, we're going to talk about a local event that Keith Strudler has won in the past, the SOS Triathlon. We're also going to talk about Ryan Lochte receiving a 10-month suspension from USA Swimming. It's going to keep him out of the 2017
maybe
World
Championships. Maybe we get Ryan Lochte into the SOS Triathlon.
I tell you what, he'd probably be pretty good at it, I would imagine.
You know what? Is Anna still here?
Yep, still here.
Sitting down.
Airing of grievance real quick. During the break, she offered me the coffee that Mike Wallace rejected.
Right. Well, he was kind of nursing a little bit.
That's almost more insulting than not offering me anything.
Giving you the leftovers? Yeah. In some ways, yeah, I could see that.
I think it was a nice gesture.
Yeah. Well, I disagree.
Well, really, to be honest, at that point, it wasn't yours to offer. I'll be honest.
No, that's true.
You had given it away.
It's my coffee now.
It was more of a joke, honestly. Jeff is blowing this way out of proportion.
I disagree.
No. The one thing you'll have to learn about Jeff Brault is he takes the smallest, most insignificant details of life and turns them into lifelong missions.
The devil, as they say, is in the details. The details are what matter.
You know, you do that sometimes.
No.
Yeah, let's get into that.
No, I don't do that. No. I let things go. They blow right off my shoulder. I don't hold a grudge. I mean, I don't even know how many times I've been slighted. I nothing bothers me.
Okay, well, then maybe we should talk about that.
That's fine. Bring it on. There is no one who is more forgiving than I. Ask my therapist. I'm serious.
Therapist or wife?
No, I've got a team. It takes a village.
The question on the table, though, Anna swims here at Marist College. How would Ryan Lochte do in a triathlon?
Now, this is a triathlon with a lot of running. I understand he'd be really good at the swimming part. I get that.
Yeah, I think
biking. I mean, those things.
He does. I mean, the workouts that he does consist of not so much running, but he definitely bikes a little bit. So I think the running would definitely be the hardest.
Yeah,
part
I think.
Him.
Look,
he's a muscle builder. Like there are two types of swimmers. There's the types of swimmers where they just get shredded, and that's how they roll. Like he does crazy stuff with tires. He's throwing.
He's big.
Like,
he's not
air.
A distance swimmer. He's a big.
Yeah, he's a big, big guy. But yeah. Then
I think that 18 miles of running would kill him.
I think he would. His muscles would be shot.
So you know, and I know we're getting to triathlon next time. We've got somebody else to do right now. But I've watched a lot of kind of elite level Olympic triathlon. It's actually amazing how good these guys are at all three things. And most people who swim really aren't good. They're just bad runners. I mean, they can run.
I'm
they
an
do.
Awful runner.
They're awful
I'm
runners.
An
like
awful
the,
runner.
It's almost a joke to a runner. You're like, how can you be that bad? You're so good at this other thing. And then you take most runners, and they almost drown when they get in the pool.
Yeah.
And it's so that the and cycling is a little bit of a different animal because a lot of people can kind of meet in the middle and pick that up. But it is very rare to be elite level or near elite level at both of those sports and certainly at all three sports. So you see a lot of these guys come in from one sport and they just can't do the other.
Here's an actual question that I'm curious about. Anna, Keith, you guys both triathlon okay. Swimming things. So if you're Ryan Lochte and you're really good at swimming in a pool, how does that translate to swimming in open water?
Anna, what do you think?
Like, is it different at all?
It is different. Open water. Actually, fun fact, I am swimming across the Hudson tomorrow morning.
That does not sound like a fun fact.
Fun, no.
No. Why?
No, it's just
is someone forcing
fact.
You? Do you need help?
Fact.
Blink, like blink
team,
twice if you need help.
A team event. So we get it's a team event. No, yeah. So open water is definitely different. I would say that open water is obviously wavier, and it's kind of a bloodbath, honestly. You get people swim on top of each other. People don't look where they're swimming. I mean,
it's like
literally
the running of the salmon.
No, it really is. I mean, open water is intense.
Let me tell you what might get me more interested in watching swimming.
Full contact, more bloodbath. Full contact swimming.
It's a lot.
No lane lines.
I would actually love to broadcast that sport. You could open the broadcast with, "Today, the pool runs red with blood."
Well, that's actually from the Hungarian water polo team in 1956. But regardless, imagine, as long as we're going off this deep end, imagine swimming. The winner is the winner, but it's now a team sport with no lane line. So you can have some muscle like a hockey. You can have muscle on your team like, look, your job is to take out Michael Phelps.
I had a coach who would take out the lane lines and he would make us practice without them because it's so much harder to swim without them.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful.
It's so much harder.
Why is it? Because it's hard to weigh. Because it's hard to
That's what they cut the weight.
Do you know why that there's a like an extra lane line on the end of pools? It's because it stops waves.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah. I had no
idea. That's why there's like that little half.
Haven't
lane.
You called swimming before?
No, never.
Water polo?
I have called water polo. Yes.
Really?
There's no lane lines in water polo.
I don't understand that sport.
Water polo?
Yeah. They drown each other. They literally drown each
other. That is true. The hard part is getting the horses into the water. But once
they're comfortable.
Yes.
Once
they're in.
They're fine. It's fine. It's all fine.
Someone peed in the pool.
It was a horse.
Let's clean it. It would be interesting to do a full contact. Also potentially deadly.
I think we may have just done for swimming what we did for NASCAR a number of months ago. The way to make NASCAR the most popular sport in the world, half the cars go in the other direction.
Yes, I agree with that one. Wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
What do you think about, again, we're off. I know we've got Ryan. We're kind of working our way into Ryan Lochte.
Yeah, this is all on the topic.
How do you feel about them playing a college football game in a NASCAR stadium?
It's fine. It's cool. Why not? You do realize the middle of a NASCAR stadium is just a big field. In fact, they even call it the infield.
You didn't make that fun. I'll tell you that.
Well, is anybody against it? Is anybody like, I can't believe they're doing this? It's going to work out better than playing basketball in an aircraft carrier.
The basketball in the aircraft. I want them to
Who thought that was a good idea?
Well, they keep doing it. I love it because every year
baseball, they do baseball.
That wasn't on a boat.
But the difference.
No, they do that, though. They have home run derbies.
Oh, well, that's fine. That's a home run derby.
Left
fielder's not going to worry.
The left fielder doesn't have to worry about drifting
off the pier.
The problem with the basketball is that they can't figure out that when you do things outdoors and that the humidity is going to make the court unplayable every single time. Like these naval ships tend to be in humid coastal environments. Like, it's never dry. It's never Arizona, right? They're never putting these things in the middle of the desert.
Just because it's called the USS Arizona.
Right. So they're always in these places where the humidity is overwhelming. The court always gets condensation on it, and guys start falling. And they have to call it. As soon as someone falls even a little bit, they're like, I can't play.
But wait, are there really people with this game at the Bristol Motor Speedway this week? Are there really people that don't think it should be there?
No, it's just it's a lot of expense to do this. I wonder if it's a – I mean, it's a lot of expense.
Yeah, well, you know, college football, if only there was a little more money, they could pay the players.
Well, who's playing? I don't even know.
Virginia Tech and Tennessee.
Yeah.
Virginia, it's the right game for that.
Well, it's the two teams that are kind of like equidistant from the Bristol Motor Speedway.
I can imagine there being a crossover between NASCAR fans and fans of those two programs. So it does.
What does that mean, Keith Shuttler?
Well, NASCAR is a popular sport in those two regions.
Interesting.
It's nothing more than that. I know you're looking for an insulting comment on my part. You're looking for a one percenter answer.
Do you have a disdain for everyone that lives below the Mason-Dixon line?
No. I, unlike the rest of you, I spent over half my life below the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah, but Texas is not the South.
But Gainesville, Florida?
Florida's
a different kind of South. Right. Florida's a different kind of South.
Okay.
So
unless I live in Mississippi, Alabama, or Tennessee, it doesn't count?
No, Arkansas also counts. Most of Missouri. Anything in the Ozarks.
Louisiana.
Oh, so we're playing your Southern. I live below the Mason-Dixon line for the significant, if not most, of my life. So I'm fine with that. I embrace the entire nation.
And yet you're here now.
I've been banned from the South. You know, the South, whenever I go South, it's fine, but the summers are so tough. They're so tough.
It's hot.
It's really hot. All right, let's move into Ryan Lochte.
Suspended 10 months by the U.S. Olympic Committee and U.S. Swimming. The reason, of course, he was suspended was because he got a little drunk in Rio, went to a gas station, vandalized a sign, had to pay off a guy with a gun at the gas station who wanted some money for that sign that he broke, lied about it, pissed off Al Roker, got two of his teammates involved in an international incident where they were escorted off a plane and had their passports taken until they paid fines ranging up to $10,000, has been asked to go back to Brazil, is refusing to go back to Brazil, and there you go. That's pretty much what happened.
You know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at the different penalties that were levied to Ryan Lochte, and then those that were also levied to his teammates, the three teammates.
Those penalties, by the way, 10-month suspension. That means that he will miss the 2017 World Championships. During his suspension, he will not receive a monthly stipend from USA Swimming or the USOC. He will not be able to access the support staff or the training centers. He's not getting his money for the gold medal. These are the two I don't understand. He's not getting the money for the gold medal he already won, and he's not allowed to go to the White House for the Team USA visit for a medal that he already won.
So I was going to say,
success that he already had.
By the penalties that hurt the most, or the penalty that hurts the most, if I'm looking at all these penalties, and then the ones that are just applicable to the other three athletes, swimmers that were kind of carnal damage on this, that should have come up with a better plan. They don't miss the World Championships. It's only a 4-month suspension. They can't go to the training centers. The one that hurts the most is the White House.
Yeah,
That's the one.
I agree.
You go to the, like, that's the once in a lifetime situation.
Well, I'm sure Ryan Lochte's done it before.
Yeah, but these guys haven't. I don't know if these guys have.
That's true. Gunnar Bentz, Jack Conger, Jimmy Fagan. I don't know.
We don't know, not being experts on. But that's the once-in-a-lifetime thing. You go to the White House you, as a guest of the president. It's not like you go to the White House on a tour and they're like, well, this is the Lincoln. You're there as a guest. You're stealing all the napkins you want. Right?
M&M's with the presidential seal on it. I've heard that's the hot ticket item.
You are there. You are an honored guest. Like when you're, that's why, by the way, I never understand an athlete turning that down. I don't care who's president.
I agree.
Although they may try that in just a
– No, I mean, I think regardless of who the president is. I think, you have to respect the office.
You visit the White House.
You have to respect the office.
That's what I'm learning on. That's exactly what I'm learning as I'm watching House of Cards. You got to respect the office. So so the no White House thing is the other one, not permitted to attend USA Swimming's annual Golden Goggles
event.
That's
actually probably what he negotiated in is like, listen, I want to get out of that.
Those speeches drag. Oh, my
yes,
God.
That's a fun event. Okay?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
That is. We also got 20 hours of community service.
20 hours!
I don't know why we're discounting the community service.
Boy, 20 hours.
Someone, if I have to listen to Janet Evans one more time after a couple of highballs, I will lose it.
What happens at the Golden Gauntlet? First of all, have you been?
No, but
no, it's every swimmer's dream. Every swimmer's dream.
So what happens at this Golden Goggles event that Ryan Lochte isn't allowed to go to because he lied while drunk?
It's like an award. It's an award show. They do it.
It's their Oscars. Red carpet.
You know, because swimming is the most popular sport there is.
Seems odd to me that you have an award show for a sport that literally provides you an award when you win a race.
it's a somewhat of a redundancy.
Yeah.
They can do most improved, most valuable.
Yeah, no, most improved.
Yes.
They do best swim of the year.
Sure.
They do, and, you know, it's a day for
most
them.
Most courageous swimmer.
So do they just give them all to Katie Ledecky?
Like, Michael Phelps will probably get a Lifetime Achievement Award.
No.
Like that.
No.
Stop making me laugh.
The winner is... Michael Phelps!
It's going to be either Michael Phelps or Katie Ledecky. And
the nominees
Katie
are...
Katie Ledecky's like 19 years old. She's getting a Lifetime Achievement Award?
They start swimming when they're like three. The nominees are...
I think they should do an honorary award
Ryan Lochte should get an award from our show for filling segment time.
The nominees are Michael Phelps, Gunnar Bentz, Jack Conger, and James Fagan. The award goes to Michael Phelps! Better off. The award goes to Jack Conger. Jack's not available to accept the award this year. Accepting on his behalf is Michael Phelps. I think I'm almost done with this segment.
It's a ludicrous suspension.
10 months is
ludicrous.
Ridiculous. I don't see how swimming is helping itself by doing this, to be honest.
It's a gross overreaction to what became a major story.
That shouldn't have been.
That shouldn't have been.
That shouldn't have been. A lot of that is Ryan Lochte's fault, obviously.
I agree.
For being immature. This could have been a non-issue.
But again, as we mentioned on this program a couple weeks ago, Ryan Lochte getting drunk, lying, and acting immature is the Ryan Lochte brand. Like, that is what you sign up for when you sign up for Ryan Lochte.
Sure.
They're punishing him for being him.
Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing. It's like punishing the lion for eating someone.
Exactly.
The lion's going to do what the lion does. So, I don't know, and I say this may sound insulting. I don't know if Ryan Lochte is. Do you think Ryan Lochte is just who we think he is?
Yes, I do.
There's nothing underneath there.
Yes. I mean, I've never met the man personally.
I guess after 32 years, you know, there's just nothing else there.
It's. I think
sometimes you become your own satire.
Let me put it this way. I think it's easier for stupid people to act smart than for smart people to act stupid. Especially at that level. Like, it's hard to do at that level.
You think it's harder for stupid people to act smart?
I think an intelligent...
You don't think he's just dumbing it
I
down.
Think an intelligent person trying to act stupid couldn't fathom turning what happened in Rio. We got drunk, went to a gas station, vandalized a sign, had the security guard at the gas station hold us up for $400 at gunpoint, then we went home. I don't think a smart person could in any way fathom turning that
into an international crisis.
We were robbed by fake police officers. They put a gun to my head. I said, whatever.
Well, yeah, it's hard to take what is kind of a really rough situation that happened to you into something that became an international crisis where the president had to speak on behalf of the nation. Yeah, that it is tough that it's gone that far. It's almost a movie, I suppose. That would be a good movie. It would be a movie.
I'd watch it. You know what it could be? It could be the next Naked Gun movie.
Yeah, we're going to screen actually a swimming movie here.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm interested in this.
The Lost Gold, about the East German swimming program versus the American swimming program back in the 1970s, I believe. Well, American team that lost, and it was a drugged up East German team. And here's the exciting part: we're going to start back up our sports communication documentary series again this fall. That'll be our first screening this fall. We're going to get either a director or a producer to come up and talk about the film. I don't think this is going to happen, but the executive producer of the film, Juliana Margulies.
Wow, the Good Wife.
The Good Wife. The Good Wife.
She can come up here.
The East German swimmers.
Yeah, Anna's showing us pictures of the East German swim team.
This will be much better when we move into the studio. All right. Yeah.
Now, is that a body you want as a swimmer?
Well,
Anna says no.
I mean, I'd take if I were a swimmer.
Because for a second, from a distance, I thought I was looking at JJ Watt.
Terrible radio right now. We're showing each other pictures on a computer.
So the picture of the East German women is them on steroids. They're really manly looking, but. There's two ways to drug for swimming and for other sports.
Okay.
You can do it as recovery. So the Chinese women got caught drugging themselves, but they weren't huge like the East German women because they were just...
So Jeff's kind of druggies.
They were just... They were drugging themselves after a workout, and East German women were drugging themselves before workouts and then working out, so they were building a lot of muscle.
Sure.
So
it was if you're going to drug yourself, drug afterwards.
Yeah, because
any,
it's not obvious.
Any youth swimmers out there, you're welcome.
That's your tips.
Swimmers don't drug.
Tips from
USA
a Marist.
Swimmers don't
from a
Marist.
I was going to say, those pictures might.
Yep. We'll have our weekly Marist Athletics tip of the week. This week, how to drug effectively and not get too big for your prom dress.
I'm done with this. I'm ready to move on.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about two things. First, the SOS Triathlon, of which Keith Schroeder is a past champion. And are you going to win tomorrow?
No, I'm not.
Why
I,
not?
Because I have not been running very much. You know I broke my toe. I made it very clear when I came over the summer. I accidentally texted that picture to Ryan Rogers. You guys know that story. Thought it was a doctor. And Ryan's like, why are you sending me pictures of a purple toe?
Ryan Rogers, a colleague of Keith Schroeder.
Yes, I'm old, and I have two kids, and I've not been training.
That is, so you're just gonna wing it.
I'm gonna get I'm training.
You're treat
not
a
training
triathlon
enough.
Like you treat this radio show. Just like gonna show up and see what happens.
Like I
hope I don't
life.
Drown.
Like I treat life. No, I'll do fine. I'll do fine. I don't want to make any bombastic predictions. I'll do fine. But I do love the race. I do love the race. And of course, coming on to speak about it is another past champion and someone you're excited to speak to because of his living arrangements.
This is the second thing we're gonna talk about. One of the best places in the Hudson Valley, maybe even the Northeast, maybe even the country.
Oh, it is.
Maybe even the world.
It is one of the best places in the world.
The Mohonk Mountain House.
Yeah.
Love it. This is an unsolicited endorsement, but it doesn't matter because we are an authentic program. So we're talking SOS Triathlon next. Stay tuned. More of the classroom ahead. Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. Welcome back in the classroom, your weekly smart look at sports. One more time, we remind you, like us on Facebook. Search for ESPN The Classroom. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN_Classroom. Archives of our old shows and this show in the very near future will be available in the podcast section on iTunes. Search for ESPN The Classroom. If you've been following, by the way, on our social media this morning, one of the best parts about having this deep roster of people here in our studio is that we're being very active on the tweets today.
We're getting after it. So get after it. Get the good stuff out there. I think we could even get more creative starting when we move into our studio. We'll get some video posts up there. I mean, we could do some real stuff up. We can make some real magic.
I'd like to see some GIFs come out of this program. Not a lot of motion happening, though, as we sit silently and talk. But I feel like we can come up with some good GIFs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. GIF, of course, a photo is what you're talking about.
Well, it's like a moving It's like a moving photo.
A GIF is a moving photo.
Yeah, it's a moving photo, and it loops on repeat.
It loops. It's like a small It's like a small sequence of images that plays in repeat.
Starting to sound like Tim Murray, be like the smartphone thing that Travis plays with. Sorry, a little inside joke there. All right, talk about the SOS Triathlon.
So Keith Schroeder is – how many times do you run triathlon?
I feel like I've done this like 13, 14 times. Times.
And maybe? Again, if you're just joining us, the SOS Triathlon is what?
The SOS Triathlon is the world's greatest triathlon. It is It is a non-traditional triathlon that starts in New Paltz, New York, that most triathlons – and triathlon has become pretty popular in this country, particularly from a participatory standpoint. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of people who participate in this regularly, perhaps millions. But generally, it's swim, bike, run, the Ironman being the most famous of those. This is bike, run, swim, run, swim, run. I just lost track. And then swim, Alex, I'm getting into my earphones, swim, run up to the top of the hill. So it's non-traditional. It is done in the beautiful gunks across the river here in Ulster County. Takes you up and finishing through the Mohonk Preserve, takes you through Minnewaska State Park, takes you all across that area, about as scenic as any triathlon in the country. Having just come back from Wyoming, done some running back over there, these trails are as beautiful as anything you'll ever see. And it finishes at the scenic Mohonk Mountain House, one of Jeff Brault's new favorite places in the entire world.
It's been one of my favorite places for years.
Right.
I actually lived on the road on the way to it for a little while.
Well, you're going to talk to someone who actually lives further up that road, actually, in the actual area of that.
It's like a literal climb to greatness.
Yeah. So it's the greatest race in the world, and it's very special because it's here in our backyard.
Joining us in the classroom this morning is Alex Sherwood, the czar of the SOS Triathlon, one of the jewels of the Hudson Valley Athletic Circuit. Alex, how are you doing? Thanks for coming on.
Outstanding, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Before we start, Keith Strudler claims to be a very accomplished triathlete.
Yeah.
He's not an East German swimmer. As you look at his physique, it's pretty clear he doesn't have that. But he is pretty talented.
But what we like to focus on in this program
the negatives
are his flaws.
Perfect.
And Keith does not believe he's going to win tomorrow. He doesn't have the heart of a champion.
I don't have the heart of a champion. If I'm not here, let me say this, and I think this can be confirmed. If I'm not winning, I'm not going to put the extra mustard. Like sometimes you can reach for the win, right? And you can,
sure.
I need to have it in the bag. Like, that's the way I look at it.
Alex, is Keith going to quit tomorrow? Is he going to capitulate?
Keith basically comes to the sandbox, and usually pretty quick you'll know if he's going to stay in the sandbox and play with everybody or he's going to leave. So he's one of those guys. You're right. He talks a lot. He talks a lot when it comes to – that's probably the flaw that most people would say as far as the athletic prowess that he has is he just talks too much.
Sure.
But he's always fit. He's going to tell you he's not, but – he is getting a little bit older, and as he gets a little bit older, obviously you get a little bit of an excuse, but he always comes to play. And the way that the SOS sets up is it's not necessarily a young person's race. You know, you need a little bit of experience. You know, a little long in the tooth goes a long way in SOS. So he's got experience on any given day. You never know.
So the SOS is not a new race. Could you tell us a little bit about the trajectory of the race? It used to be, when I first got to the Hudson Valley, it was the kind of thing that, you know, only a few people really knew about, and it was really kind of a niche thing, and now it's well known across the country. Tell us about the growth of it and the popularity of it.
Absolutely.
And so
over the last about the time that you've actually been doing the race, Keith, USA Triathlon every year ranks its best races through the nation, as you've mentioned, and for that time period, SOS is consistently ranked as the number one what we call small race in the country. So you've got people from all over the country, all over the world really coming to do SOS. Still holds a pretty small field. Only about 150 athletes every year get in, so it's definitely a coveted race to get an entry to. Once you do get that, most people find out about it, and a lot of people never leave it. And that's where – so we're in year 31 right now, and it got its start when the founder, a guy by the name of Don Davis, who's a Hudson Valley legend when it comes to endurance sports, he was preparing for Ironman World Championships, needed something to make him work and train. So what he did one day, sort of without approvals and such, is he went out, took a bike ride for 30 or 40 miles, literally threw his bike in the woods, took a pair of sneakers with him and ran to that first lake that you mentioned, swam a mile across it, carrying his shoes, ran to the next lake, which took him about 5 miles, jumped in that lake, swam across it, all along saying, wow, this is pretty beautiful. And he'd been living here for many years. Got out of the second lake, ran to the third, and said, geez, this is an awesome workout. Maybe this should turn into a race. So that's kind of how it literally got its start. It was one guy's training day. He went, this would be amazing. And he's really a passionate guy about sharing not only the sport of triathlon, his experience, but really this area in the Shangum Mountains with people. And that's where the birth of SOS really came from. And he and his wife, Darlene, still very much a part of the race experience when you come. He's one of those people that, you know, you rank it up there. You meet the Pope. Everyone says you've got your audience with the Pope. That would be an accomplishment. If you get the chance to meet Don Davis, it's pretty much on the same line.
First time I've heard Don Davis, who's Jewish, by the way.
Exactly.
compared to the Pope. But, you know, there are some parallels. They dress differently.
Don
wears a lot of denim.
A lot of black. A lot of black.
A lot of black. A lot of denim. Yeah. It's kind of the Johnny Cash.
And he drives a convertible, not a Pope Mobile. Yeah.
So I want to get in a little bit to the psychology of people who sign up for this race.
Yes. I'm very interested in.
Because, look, and I've done this for a long time. Alex, you've done this for a long time.
Sure.
And we keep doing it. And Alex is not so young himself. We
not
get older. We're never going to be as fast as we do it. It's a challenge. Mm-hmm. You've got family commitments. Yes. You've got all this. It's expensive. What is the drive behind most of the people that sign up for the SOS? Like, what do you think? You know these people really well because you really. What do you think that the driving factor for people that want to do endurance races like the SOS?
Sure. Well, I think that where SOS stands apart is, you know, all those other races that you throw out there, Ironman, all these other things, there's a lot of people doing them. You know, you go to an Ironman, there's 2,000 people doing it. You finish something that 2,000 other people do, quite frankly, you don't feel all that impressed with yourself, I don't think. And I think that SOS, because of the nature of the different modalities back and forth, you find yourself going, holy cow, I just did this. And, you know, I'm sure Jeff's face when you told him what it was just now, he kind of went, what? You know,
Jeff won't walk up the stairs.
I get tired on the walk from the couch to the fridge.
Awesome. So, but when you can say you've done that with a straight face, that's what brings people back here. But what's really cool is, and as you said, you know, not a lot of young people racing it. And when I say young, that's not your 19, 18, 20-year-olds. You know, you're going to see a lot of people in the heart of it, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s. You got local talent here, you know, 65, 70-year-olds that are racing this. And it truly is a day where you kind of get yourself and the race course. And that's the thing. I think that a lot of people spend time training, getting ready, and doing all, like you said, managing life. And for 5, 6, 7 hours for some of these people, that's 7 hours of their time. Nobody else is there. It's just them and the experience. And that doesn't happen in a lot of races. And I think that's the addiction, if you ask me. That's the thing that makes people, you know, when they've got busted toes and they got busted backs and ribs, who say, hell, I'm coming. I'm showing up. I'm going to do this. You know, we've got guys that literally 2 weeks before this race were using walkers because they had had hip injuries and stuff, who toe the line.
Deniable plausibility is really important here.
Seems like a sickness. We're talking with Alex Sherwood of the SOS Triathlon. Again, I'm the furthest thing from a triathlete. It involves running, biking, and swimming.
In all fairness, I'd put Mike Wallace right up there with you.
This would be interesting. If the folks here ran a triathlon,
yeah,
who would die first?
Who would die?
Because, again, you don't have to be the fastest. You just have to be faster than the slowest person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like getting away from a bear.
So, again, I mean, you're listening to miles of swimming, miles of running, miles of biking, all in a mixed-up order. But what I'm hearing, what I can't wrap my head around, what seems to be the most uncomfortable part, you have to swim with your shoes.
That's right.
Yeah.
And one of the worst feelings in the world is wet sock.
Well, no. Jeff, not the only thing that he's more concerned about creature comforts is creature comforts. He wants to be meticulously dressed. Comfort.
How much is wet sock a problem?
Jeff, here's the deal. You think wet socks are uncomfortable.
I do.
Here's the challenge I want you to do. I want you to go home tonight. I want you to get in the shower in your underwear.
Oh, boy.
I want you to take a pair of shoes and shove one in the front of your underwear and one in the back.
I'm not doing that.
I guarantee you wet socks are going to feel fine compared to
that. Can you have a partner help with this?
There you go. You could totally do that.
First of all, Alex, I am upset that you think that isn't what I do every Saturday.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Absolutely. So, no,
how
no
dare
question.
You judge me, sir?
Wet shoes and wet feet are what some people talk about. And as I said, the unique thing about the SOS, when you finish the line and come across, you're referred to as a survivor. Obviously, the race is called Survival of the Shongums.
I have another important question. You know how in high jump, the Fosbury flop, named after Fosbury, because he was the first person to figure out how to do it. Who was the first person to figure out that you shove your shoes in your underpants?
Yes.
Well,
and can we name that maneuver after them? And if not, can we just name it after Keith Shrubber?
You're onto something. I think, you know, what do you say, Keith? I think we could refer to that as the Davis dunk, maybe. Or
yes.
Something like that, you know, which he would have been the first guy to shove a shoe down into his groin there and sort of say, I'm going to swim across this lake. Maybe that we'll kick that off tonight at the pre-race dinner.
Let's come up. We'll brainstorm. I do like the Davis dunk. It's got to start with a D, I guess.
I think there's alliteration.
Don Davis, it's Don Davis, the Don Davis something.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a great idea, and that's the move. It's the Don Davis. And then someone, like a few years from now, can come up with a better way to do it,
right,
and they'll get it named after them.
Absolutely, yeah, right. I mean, I'm trying to think, you know, what we could do with Keith. I don't know. You'll come up with
Did I just inadvertently revolutionize the terminology of triathlon?
You're part of the
we
family
just
now,
make
Jeff.
History here? All right, so tell me who is going to win, Alex, this year.
All right. On the ladies, the race this year is open up. The returning winner is not back. I shouldn't say the returning. Last year's winner is not back. If I'm putting money down, I'd say, I don't know, she's probably 15-time finisher, Deb Battaglia, who is from California/Ohio. She's going to be returning this year, so she's one to watch. She's an ER doc, actually. You want to talk about someone who makes it happen. This woman works 24-hour shifts, doesn't sleep for 3 days, and she'll show up at SOS and she'll destroy, you know, most of the men. She's there. On the men's side, it looks to me like three of the top four, including yourself there, old man, are back. I'm going to say number two and number three, Stefan Judix, who's from Port Jefferson, and New Paltz, and this is the guy that I've been putting my money. Actually, I wagered some of my daughter's college fund on him. His name's Phil Vondra. Phil's taken the last 5 months off. He's actually not working even. This guy's been, well, we're referring to him as pro triathlete material. He's putting it out. Both of those guys have always
been. He's not working?
He's not right now. He decided he's going to take time. He told me, I'm taking time off and I'm winning SOS. So my money's behind Vondra.
That's not cool at all. But he used to be carry a little. You know, a little extra baggage.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. You got to remember, he was a crew guy.
If I'm not mistaken, Philip Vondra, there are some very talented people who do this. Was he not a member of like the British national rowing team?
Exactly. He was a Olympic quality rower. I mean, basically, Phil's one leg, his quads are bigger than yours and my chest put together, probably.
So now he's lost weight. That's
he is.
Good.
He's doing the ultra running thing. Awesome guy. Just one of the nicest guys. Him and Stefan, two really great guys. But my money's on Phil this year. No pressure if he's listening out there. That's what I'm thinking.
We've jinxed that.
Download our archive, please. The podcast section of iTunes. Search for ESPN The Classroom.
That's true. We'll find out how accurate that call. Well, And Stefan is actually – he's very talented. That guy's really good. He's really consistent.
Those two guys actually teamed up earlier this year. There was a race up in Maine that was like a swim run crazy thing that the two of them got together at the beginning of August, and I know that they're both in good shape.
All so. I'm going to be doing is complaining about how I broke my toe in San Francisco.
I'm already counting on it. Yeah. I expect to hear you on the starting line telling everybody.
Kiestrohler may not win a gold medal in the SOS Triathlon, but he will be – the champion of complaining.
Awesome.
You want to? Can we get some sponsor plugs in?
Absolutely. All right. Well, we got, of course, Cliff products are going to be out on course tomorrow. The Lake Katrine Animal Hospital, Dr. Mike Halstead, one of the perennial powerhouses here in Ulster County, really all of the Hudson Valley. P&G's restaurant local in New Paltz, those guys are going to be there. Dr. David Ness, you guys probably know about Dr.
He's good,
Ness.
Yes, he's good.
He's the man that fixes most all of us. The Bicycle Rack in New Paltz. We want to thank Pegasus Athletic and Care Systems. A lot of local support there. You know, many of these guys and gals are going to be out there. If you haven't experienced an SOS, I would tell you to get to the Mountain House. You can certainly come in, hike in, see the finish. You come to the gate, you pay $26. You can be a hiker. You can spend all day here. Come watch these people. Come watch Keith climb himself up that last three quarters of a mile. It's definitely worth watching him suffer.
There's also another thing we could bet on. How long after I race do I start yelling at my kids?
I'm going to guess you'll probably do that as you're coming through the chute. My daughter will be there tomorrow. She can't wait to run you across the chute because she's like, she refers to you as the guy that runs funny when he comes in.
Oh, so good.
She'll be looking for you.
Excellent.
Alex, this an actual thought for next year. SOS
sure.
Triathlon is taking place on Sunday this year.
Yes.
Can we move? I assume it's a morning event. I assume you do it early?
Starts at 7 a.m.
Can we move it next year to a Saturday morning?
Okay.
We're going to wire up Kiestrohler,
sure.
And we're going to have him live on the air, co-hosting this program.
Vince wanted, as I like to say.
While directly participating in the SOS Triathlon.
Can we hook up like a taser, though, that like our audience participation could be?
A little,
they could like
a little motivational?
Shock collar.
Yeah,
I'll hold the remote.
Collar. Perfect.
People can tweet in at ESPN_classroom when they think Keith needs a little extra motivation.
Perfect.
We'll give him a quick jolt. We'll get him outfitted with a wireless mic.
I'm sorry,
a waterproof mic, some waterproof earphones.
What could go wrong?
He'll be live on air during the SOS Triathlon.
I'm running tomorrow. I'm carrying, a GoPro throughout the race, so I'll be sure that we'll get some of that test footage tomorrow and see how that looks. And then, we'll work to see what we can do to maybe switch it up for next year and see if we couldn't have him as your sort of live feed. It would be quite fun.
So Jeff is most interested in the fact that you live on the the Mohawk Mountain House property.
Sure,
a place that he wants to know two things. One is, what's that like?
Right.
And B, how can he be on a VIP list? I believe those are the two things he wants to know.
I'd like the Stephen King treatment. Whatever he gets when he's writing his next novel, right. I feel like I should get to prepare for this program.
Well, Keith comes and visits us as a guest. I moved on property a little while back. I literally live about 100 yards below where the lake is.
Wow.
I'm pretty fortunate. This is year 17 for me at the Mountain House, so I'm actually talking to you from the ground floor of the hotel right now. And the Smiley family's always been a big supporter of the local scene, and no better place for it to be than here. The leadership here at the hotel, super, super supportive of SOS, has been its entire 31 years. So it's a unique spot. All of our guests are VIPs, Jeff, so we treat them all as good as we can. We're fortunate. Matter of fact, here's a plug for you. We just opened up a brand-new facility here called Grove Lodge. If you haven't seen it, I'll tweet it out to you guys.
I saw it. I did see it.
Pretty spectacular spot. We're psyched. After 100 years, we opened up some new amazing space and a lot of local feedback. We're going to be doing a special event on the 20th of this month for local media. So maybe, Jeff, there's your first step. We'll bring you in as a VIP for
local
that.
Local media.
I am that.
So, how about that?
Now, every guest is a VIP. I get it. I've been to the Mountain House, you treat everyone well, but as we all know, there is a VVIP,
right? There's business class and then there's first class.
That's the list that I think Keith and I should be on.
I like the media, though. The media event sounds very interesting.
There you go. We can do that. Well, Keith's one of those. He's definitely he's a guest of interest for us. When he's on property, there's definitely security awareness for.
I tell you that just because that one time he reached his hand into the buffet.
Right.
Now you can't let the man live.
My kids love the buffet there.
Yeah.
My God.
You blame it on the kids, too. There you are again, man.
They love that buffet.
This is a question purely for my own edification. Are you still doing the murder mystery weekends?
We sure do.
I would love to get in on one of those murder mystery weekends.
See, we got food weekends. We got wine weekends. We got
the food and wine weekend
dance.
I think you'd really like.
We got dance weekend. We got all kinds of great stuff here.
I'm sorry. Right now, Jeff Rawl is starting to sound like Fraser Crane.
Alex Schroeder to the SOS Triathlon / Mohawk Mountain House. Is it possible for me not just to participate in the murder mystery as someone who like tries to figure out, but can I actually be like – like an inspector.
We could do that. We could call you inspector like Jeff So or something like that. We'll give you one of those hats with the double bill.
That's what I want, the hat. The double bill hat and a magnifying glass.
Yep, perfect. Monocle,
maybe? Here's what I want. Magnifying glass and a monocle. Twice the magnification.
What do we do? Yeah, we'll double up the monocle is what I think you should do. A double layer because then you could do the close and
take
and
that,
far.
Mr. Peanut.
Absolutely. You can certainly check that out. But I would tell you the one thing is you want to make sure that if you're here at Mohonk when SOS is happening, that's where it all comes together because you not only see the Mountain House, but you see, as Keith started things off today, with quite possibly the most impressive finish line of any race in the nation is going to happen right at the base of Skytop Tower. When you're looking out over the entire Hudson Valley, it doesn't get better than that.
And Alex, one more time, if people want to come out and watch the SOS Triathlon tomorrow, perhaps heckle
Absolutely.
Keith Strudler as he runs by, how do they go about doing that?
They come and they would be what's referred to as a hiking guest. They come to the Mohonk Gatehouse. The hiking passes are $26. You'll park at the gatehouse and you'll have access to hike literally over 85 miles worth of trails or hike the 2 miles up towards Skytop Tower. And if you're there somewhere about 11 o'clock in the morning, you'll probably get the chance to see Keith coming through screaming at his kids.
Yeah.
Alex Schover, the SOS Triathlon, our guest in the classroom this morning. Thanks so much for coming on. Good luck tomorrow.
Awesome, guys. I appreciate it. We'll see you out there.
Well, I'm nervous about tomorrow. That got me a little nervous. Apparently, the competition's in really good shape.
Your face when the guy's like, he quit his job?
Well, so Phil Vondra, I know this is like all inside baseball. Phil Vondra, great guy. I mean, the people that do this, I will say that anyone who gets involved in a sport like this, and there are a lot, it's softball, all these different sports that people start to take seriously and they get really interested.
You just compare softball to
a
sport where you literally have to chug a beer at first base.
All right, I'm just saying, sporting communities, they get, even when they get, that was a bad example. That was a terrible example. But they get
people that do triathlons, people that are into competitive poker, it's all the same.
But I'm saying these communities, I understand, at the heart of it is competition. But usually, with the exception of people that don't understand perspective and think that this actually matters in a way that it doesn't, in essence, it really is just about competing against yourself and meeting some really cool people. And the people that do this race, yeah, so it's they're really, really cool people who just want to learn how to dig deep inside of themselves. And there's something really, I don't know, I'm not as fast as I used to be by any regards, and I still do it because there is this I just want to do something that's challenging. And this is the only thing I do where it's just me. Andre put it, my wife said the other, this is his one day a year. He gets one day, which is very sad. But this is my one day just to be me.
You don't even get Father's Day.
No, Father's Day is not. It's not an option. It's not. We don't speak of those words. I don't even get my birthday. I've been traveling on my birthday for the last 8 years. So but there is something really cool. But Phil Vondra was literally on the British national rowing team. I found that out later after I was wow, that guy's pretty good. But he always had a little bit of a little pouch there because he liked his food and liked his drink. Apparently now he likes it less, and he also doesn't like working, and he's just been training to win this triathlon. He's going to crush me.
Go watch Keith Strudler get embarrassed in a triathlon and shove his running shoes down the front of his pants tomorrow with the Don Davis dunk. We got to take a break. We come back grades of the week as we wind down the classroom here on Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. And over here trying to rally people to give congratulations for a job well done when the job is not yet done, Anna. This would be like swimming 200 meters and after about 175 meters coasting to the finish thinking you won, and then before you know it, someone from East Germany just slides in right by you.
One of my friends actually did do that one time. He coasted into the end of a race and got beat
by an East German.
No, by a kid from Buffalo.
So let's not start giving tips of the cap just yet because we have to get grades of the week.
And now for your grades of the week.
Grades this week coming deep in the heart of Texas, home state of Keith Strudler. The left tackle at Rice University, which, as Keith Strudler can confirm, is in Texas.
In Houston, a place I used to hang out quite a bit.
Left tackle's name is Calvin Anderson, and Calvin Anderson has a very interesting hobby. He likes to finish Rubik's Cubes.
Well, as most of you know, Rice is one of the best schools in the country, a top 20 ranked university, and very strong engineering math science programs.
Before each game, Rice left tackle Calvin Anderson will relax by solving Rubik's Cubes behind his back, and he can do that, again, behind his back, in under a minute.
How do you solve it behind your back if you can't see it?
Dr. Strudler, grade that pregame routine.
An A plus. It is because not only
photographic memory,
but you can't see it.
Well, I imagine he remembers the turns and the moves.
So he just looks at it once. He's like a crazy genius.
Tell you what, when the apocalypse starts, is that not the guy you want on your team?
Get us out of here. He is. That's my guy. That is my guy. You're welcome to the people who've been listening the whole program. I give that an A plus. I'm almost confused. He should, but how good is he to have like? Now he also can't come off the field and be like, "Sorry, I just missed. I couldn't read the play." Like they're going to be like, "You can solve Rubik's cubes behind your back." How did you not know the tackle was coming from that? Like he's got to be able to read the plays now.
But A plus?
I give an A plus. It's intimidating to the opponents too. It's intimidating. He should actually, let me say this, take it a step up. He should be doing it on the sidelines when he's not on the field just to show off. And then they could set up some chessboards. Boy, wouldn't that be a great match if they played Harvard? The Brain Bowl.
Elsewhere in Texas, Texas Tech head coach, the alliteratively named Cliff Kingsbury, decided to end his practice on Monday by reenacting a WWE professional wrestling match featuring
this.
John Cena and The Miz. Fun fact about The Miz.
I know.
I met him.
Well, I know a more fun fact about The Miz.
Interesting. I wonder if it comes from the same night
I met him. Yeah.
It probably does. I think I know that fun fact as well, and it is not for the radio. They were on their field at Texas Tech on the practice field. John Cena and The Miz, they had entrance music. They reenacted this match. They did the monologues, and they hit each other with chairs and threw people through tables. Dr. Strudler, great that post-practice wind-down.
Were there any injuries?
I hope not.
Again, I've always thought that professional wrestling is in many ways kind of a microcosm of the world in which we live. All the lessons that come out. So if you're trying to teach your football team, you know, kind of the world in 5 minutes, no better way to do it than that. I give that also an A+. And by the way, we used to do some professional style wrestling during preseason for track when I was at Cornell. And so we always got a lot of good motivation out of that. A+. Great, great, great way to turn boys to men.
It looked like a bunch of skeletons wrestling each other.
Yes, it was lanky. It was a flyweight division.
More like a lucha libre.
Exactly.
One more from the state of Texas. Eccentric billionaire Jerry Jones has himself a new helicopter. Jerry Jones.
Did he have one before that?
I assume he did. That's okay. Why it's a new helicopter. Okay. And Jerry Jones loves this new helicopter. Why does he love it? Jones says, quote, "You can shoot out of it. You can shoot pigs out of it. You can do a lot of things.
You can shoot at pigs out of it. Not shoot pigs."
Not to be fair. The quote was actually, "You can shoot pigs out of it." So there is some ambiguity there. The long story short of it is you could clearly do a lot of things in this helicopter. Dr. Strudler, grade the new chopper of the Cowboys owner.
Well, not a big fan of the hunting, as you know. But I'll say this. There seems to be a Texas thing with helicopters. The Texas A&M football coach, blanking on names.
Kevin Sumlin
recruits with a helicopter. Flies that helicopter and it, you know, has the big A&M thing on, says Gigum on the bottom.
Do you think he yells, like when he lands the helicopter in recruits yard, does he yell, "Get to the chopper"?
I don't know.
Mike Wallace, yell "Get to the chopper" into the microphone, please.
Get to the chopper.
Please do it better.
Better. I tried.
It's an Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
he yelled Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You never heard that.
What is that from?
He yells, "Get to the chopper!"
from what movie is that? Kindergarten Cop?
No.
It is not Captain Phillips. No, what are the terms?
Look at me!
Commando.
So I don't know. I don't know what he yells, but I'm just saying that there seems to be a Texas kind of machismo around the helicopter. I am not a big fan of the helicopter. Look, Jim Cotter, who works on helicopters, made it very clear that helicopters are by far less safe than airplanes. And I'm not even that confident on the airplane. So you use helicopters because you have to, not because you want to. Like, that's my opinion. If you can get there with a plane, you use the plane. The helicopter is your military situation. So I am not a big fan of the helicopter. Now, if he chooses to open the roof in Dallas Stadium or in his stadium, bring that chopper down through the hole and land it on the field, then they put it to good use. Then I'd give it an A. As is, it's a D.
It's all the time we've got in the classroom this morning. Thanks for hanging out with us for your weekly Smart Look at Sports. Did everybody have fun today? Anna, your opinion's not needed.
Nope.
Did everybody else have fun today?
Well, now I'm not all getting right, very
one
lukewarm.
One person gave us a half-hearted thumbs up.
Now we all know what the show is all about, and I think we're going to be able to do a lot of good post-production work. We all know how we're going to be able to optimize this for the new TV studio, get this on visual, you know, start posting it on whatever it is that we're going to be posting it on, watching it, producing it, cutting it up. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Mike Wallace, lead dog, what did we learn today?
Absolutely nothing.
Well, crap.
Love is conditional.
No, unconditional.
Love is conditional.
Love is conditional.
That's what
except
we
possibly between parent and child, though I imagine there is probably still some conditions there as well.
Oh, yeah.
And Keith Strutler, is someone with two kids, you can confirm you definitely have a favorite?
No. I dislike them equally.
They're all horrible. Dr. Keith Strutler runs the Marist College Center for Sports Communication. My name is Jeff Brault. I want to thank all of our friends at Fox Radio for gifting us this airtime to get these thoughts out to you in the Hudson Valley. We are back with you live next week, 10 a.m. to noon, for another edition of this program. In the meantime, like us on Facebook, ESPN The Classroom. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN underscore classroom. Archives of this program. You want to hear the funny moments again? You can do it in just a few hours by going to iTunes and searching for ESPN The Classroom. I'm Jeff Brault. Thanks for hanging out. Class is dismissed.